Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have as our special guest today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former representative for District 1 for the state of Florida in the House of Representatives, and I'm thankful that he is with us. I'm always delighted to hear his take on the world issues, the national issues, and what we see taking place and how we should respond as conservatives and as Christians. Congressman, before we take our next caller, let me ask you a question. I touched on it before our top of the hour news. Why, in your opinion, do we have a total silence from all realms of media? There's a little noise being rattled about with Fox News about some of these things and what has happened with the COVID jab and the COVID force and the shutdown, the lockdowns, etc., but not a squeak of questions from any media. What, in your opinion, is the cause of that?
Well, I think it's become clear, Dr. Youngblood, that the mainstream media is simply an extension of the Democrat Party. And the Democrat Party right now, because they are in power, they are trying their best to keep it quiet what the effects of these vaccines are doing. And it's really a shame. I know you get your news source from other than the mainstream media, and I do also, Dr. Youngblood, and I would encourage your listeners to not listen to the ABC, NBC, all those big name news outlets, and to seek the truth on your own. To find it with the internet or other outlets, that's the only way you're going to get the truth, because it is complete silence coming from mainstream media about actually what is going on right now when it has to deal with COVID-19 or any other issue that the left does not want you to hear. We're seeing this now with the explosion of the Twitter files, that they will deny the truth coming out if it will benefit their cause.
Absolutely. Congressman, I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, Representative Hill, how are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are. Thank you.
This is kind of directed at Mr. Hill. Well, I got 2 things there. There's already a disease out here that exists, and I certainly would pray to God that they're not doing gain of function on it. Smallpox. You and I and Mr. Hill, I'm going to assume he's somewhere around my age, have been inoculated against that. I was when I was in elementary school and also when I went in the military. But second thing I wanted to ask is, I had read where Ron DeSantis has empowered and investigated body to look into the adverse effects of the COVID vaccine there. Do you have any privy information on this that you could share?
Congressman Hill, I'll let you respond to that.
Yes, and I'm sorry, Jim, your question was, did I have any information about, do you mean why DeSantis is calling for this investigation? Was that your question?
No, sir. The question was, is if you have any more information that you may be able to share as to the extent and how far this state government is willing to pursue these investigations.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, that's interesting question, Jim, because according to the news articles, what Governor DeSantis and along with Attorney General Ashley Moody and his Surgeon General Ladapo, what they are asking is for the Supreme Court to investigate. So note the sequence of this. They're asking the Supreme Court to investigate putting together a grand jury panel to look into any wrongdoings or the negative effects that we have had from the COVID-19 vaccines. So that's going to all take time. So even if the Supreme Court says, okay, yes, we'll get a panel together, then you got to put the panel together. Then the panel has to investigate. How long is that going to take? Perhaps it may take enough time, as Dr. Youngblood said earlier in the show, to get beyond this immunity from any lawsuits that were given to hospital doctors and other medical facilities for any harm that they did because of COVID-19. So perhaps, and that expires next year in 2023. So perhaps it'll be after all of that. So all of that being said, it is so interesting that Governor DeSantis is calling for this right now, when you may recall at the beginning of all this, he was actually pushing the vaccine. When COVID first broke in 2020, he was pushing the vaccine strongly and was encouraging everyone to get it. Now, I don't think he had any nefarious intentions there. I think he was fooled, like a lot of people were, that the vaccine was good and needed, even though I never took the vaccine and I never will.
Hey.
I never wore a mask and I won't, except when I was flying, and that way, because they'll kick you off the plane if you don't. But that was the only way I did. So I'll mention one other thing, that one of the folks who were a part of that panel that Governor DeSantis put together yesterday was a doctor, and the doctor's name is, and I'm sorry if I pronounce it incorrectly, is Bhattacharya, and I'm sorry, Dr. J. Bhattacharya.
Bhattacharya.
He's from Stanford University. Yeah, he's an epidemiologist, and he was part of the panel that was put together. But here's what's interesting about that. I was at a meeting in Santa Barbara, California last year, and that good doctor was there speaking to the audience, and there were about 400 in the audience, and he asked the question, how many of you have not received the COVID-19 vaccine? And of about the 400 people in the audience at the time, about a fourth of us raised our hand. So about 100 raised our hand. We had not been vaccinated. And he said at that time, looks like we still have some work to do to convince these other people, meaning us, who had not been vaccinated. Well, he couldn't convince me no matter how hard he tried. There was no way I'm going to get that vaccine, and back then and even now. But he was part of this panel put together yesterday by Governor DeSantis to call for this investigation of the wrongdoings or misconduct of these pharmaceutical companies. So was he fooled earlier like the rest of us, or like a lot of people were? I never was. when he was calling for the vaccine. Has he been vaccinated himself? I don't know, but it's interesting that just a year ago, he was calling for the vaccine. 2 years ago, DeSantis was calling for the vaccine, and now they are calling for a panel to investigate wrongdoings by these pharmaceutical companies.
Well, Jim, did that anybody, answer your question?
Yes, yes. Anybody with a clear-minded ability to reason would obviously know that a president standing up in front of the nation in a speech and saying that he's sick and tired and that you're going to do this should have right then and there put everything down and said, ain't no way, no way I'm going to have this done to me. At least that's what I looked at. And I'm not going to be their guinea pig, and it just seemed too fast. And I did research and told myself that, no, I'm not going to do this. So,
amen. Well, I'm looking at an article, Jim, and for the benefit of Congressman Hill also. Headline says 12 million Americans have suffered major side effects, even death, from the COVID shots. Of the 68% of American adults who took the COVID-19 vaccine, 41% say they have suffered many side effects. The poll found, for example, that 80% of the Democrats said that the vaccines were very or somewhat effective, while only 40% of the Republicans said the same thing. Further in the article, it says, at a roundtable last Wednesday in the nation's capital, led by Senator Ron DeSantis, Republican of Wisconsin, acclaimed cardiologist Peter McCullough, and among the health scientists calling for the COVID-19 vaccine to be immediately withdrawn and stopped. McCullough said there is no scientific support for the vaccines reducing any transmission or preventing any virus, explaining they provide no immunity in the nose where the viral load really begins. The only hope for any efficacy is that they would reduce severity of the disease, but there's no clinical trials or evidence to support even that, end quote. And he goes on with a five-page article talking about Senator Johnson's roundtable. It was a three-hour video on that, or live stream, and I have captured that as a video to preserve it because it's not been discussed on any news outlet, even Fox News. Jim, I hope that answered your questions, and thank you so much for your call today.
God bless both you gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Congressman, let's take a moment and switch gears. You've been watching, I'm sure, with great interest, the peeling of the Twitter onion, as I call it. Let me just pose a hypothetical at the very outset. Why would you think, or why does your take on Elon Musk spending $44 billion to buy Twitter and to basically go in and turn it inside out? What was the purpose? What's his end goal? What do you think his mindset is in relationship to what is being revealed?
Well, that's an interesting question, Dr. Youngblood. Of course, I think the bottom line is he wants to make money. That's how his mind thinks. That's how he operates. And how he's going to make money on this is to be seen. He stated before he bought Twitter that he thought it was being underutilized and that he could turn it into even a bigger money maker than what it is. And in the meantime, he is revealing a lot of things that were taking place in Twitter in terms of the censoring of any conservative values. He is coming out with an awful lot of information, which in my mind, I was thinking of this the other day, almost puts him in league with Julian Assange and Robert Snowden, who were essentially, I guess, whistleblowers of the U.S. government. He's being a whistleblower of social media. And it makes you wonder if that is going on with Twitter, what is also happening with Facebook, with Google, with YouTube, with all of them, what have they been doing? And will that be coming out also because he is opening up these Twitter files?
I'm looking at an article, and by the way, you touched on that. You know, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook sat in an interview and admitted that the FBI had contacted him and his leadership team with Facebook and had warned them about the Hunter Biden laptop and said that they should recognize that it was disinformation, Russian disinformation, and be very, very careful. And therefore, Zuckerberg admitted that they squelched it and did not report on it, and shadow banned anything that would talk about it during that time. And of course, going back to the Hunter Biden's laptop, the FBI had possession of that laptop and all of its contents since September 2019. I'm looking at an article, though, Congressman, that I find fascinating. It says, Elon Musk, : Twitter in battle for the future of civilization. Amid Elon Musk measures to protect free speech on Twitter, including the elimination of its COVID-19 misinformation policy, the White House is promising to keep close eyes on the social media platform. The new Twitter owner made it clear he believes that stakes are very high. Quote, this is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead, according to Elon Musk's statement. And he goes on to talk about the research that's taking place and the misinformation, disinformation. But the main thing is, we're finding now, according to the peeling of the Twitter onion, that, and I'm looking at another headline, FBI held weekly meetings with Twitter ahead of the 2020 election and kept the Hunter Biden laptop and the hack and leak operation in the background by shadow banning it. The FBI alerted Twitter in weekly meetings ahead of the 2020 presidential election to anticipate hack and leak operations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my question, Congressman, in your opinion, did the federal government under the Biden administration, via the agencies and the bureaus of the federal government, did the federal government intervene and change the trajectory of the 2020 election?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. And actually, it wasn't just the Biden administration. It was the FBI and other intelligence agencies during the Trump administration that did that. Because we know that what they were doing was to try to affect the outcome of the 2020 election. And it was clear, as we see now, what is coming out, that the FBI, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, they were all involved in trying to make sure that President Trump was not reelected. And it's astounding of what we are seeing that is being revealed to us now, because Elon Musk bought Twitter and is revealing all this information. It is confirming what President Trump said, that he actually did win the election, that there was a government attempts to stop him from getting reelected. It is becoming clear now, which is also should be clear to everyone, that that whole January 6th committee is a sham. Mm-hmm. And it is a shame that we have over 900 political prisoners who have been arrested, who have been charged with serious crimes and are sitting in jail right now, even though it was all on trumped up charges. And it is such a shame that we are seeing, and it's also a shame that we don't have enough of those on the Republican side, leadership, who are calling out for the freedom of these political prisoners and just go ahead and disbanding this entire January 6th committee, stopping what they have been carrying on for over a year now. And we've heard silence from the GOP leadership. Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, instead of them calling out almost on a daily basis to put a stop to the nonsense of that January 6th committee, they have been completely silent on it. Or let me say it this way, Dr. Youngblood, the media has not been putting out any of their opposition to it.
Absolutely. Congressman, hold your thoughts for just a moment. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go with your question or comment, please.
In each of these situations, you can follow the money or follow the power, and you'll find the truth. In the case of the vaccines, tens of billions of dollars were at stake in this entire game. However, there's a political element, and I believe Ron DeSantis may be going that political route. It will be monetary first, but at the end of the day, I believe everyone that intends to defeat Donald Trump for the 2024 presidential election will use the vaccine as a mechanism. Understand this. He promoted what he called Operation Warp Speed, and that was to bypass many of the normal long-term safety studies and protocols in order to make sure a safe product hit the market. And in this case, they said, hey, we've done everything, all fixed up, all wrapped up, all ready to go, you know, 90 days, 180 days. They rolled this thing out into the marketplace with an experimental vaccine. And now hundreds of millions of doses and clearly tens of billions of dollars. But I guarantee you between now and 2024, both individuals on the left and on the right and all of your rhinos, many will jump on board and say, this is Donald Trump's fault. Keep in mind, many of those individuals, your Mitch McConnell types, your rhino types across America, they hate the fact that Donald Trump upset their apple cart. People like Paul Ryan literally decided he was going to retire at 49 years old or 50 years. Who does that? A Speaker of the House? Speaker of the House at that young age? Who all of a sudden just upset? Well, he did. I mean, his apple cart was upset. But what I'm pointing to is the political element will be turned, I believe, against Trump. The media that's been completely silent on vaccine negative side effects, the adverse events is what they call them, they've been completely silent. Between now and the election of 2024, they will come out with a vengeance, but they will all be pointing the finger, I believe, at Donald Trump.
It's a good thought and good insight that Congressman Hill, what is your take on that?
I think Greg is right on target. I love it whenever he calls into the show because he says things that I'm thinking about and wish I had said, and he said it. But he is exactly right. I think this whole move of calling this panel together by Governor DeSantis is an attempt to move to the right, if you could do that, of President Trump. For the next election that's going to be coming up, people are what he's trying to give the impression is that he is even more conservative than President Trump, because here I am trying to protect the people. So I think this is a political move also. As Greg said, you always have to follow the money first, but politics is usually very closely behind the money. And I think this is all a political move to try to, again, stop President Trump from being reelected in 2024, including you would see shortly after this, Governor DeSantis announced wanting to form this panel, that a poll was taken, and now he has a double-digit lead over President Trump. In the event of if the election were held today, who would you want to be the nominee or who would you want to be your president? One, I don't believe in polls anyway, but they are going to continue saying this, continue beating that drum that DeSantis is ahead of Trump so that Trump will have less of a chance of winning. This is indeed a political move.
Absolutely. And one of the things, if I can put a little parenthetical footnote on that statement, which I believe is apropos, with the even if there were a impaneled grand jury now, you touched on it a little earlier, Congressman. I believe we'd be looking at a minimum of 2 years before there could be any proper analysis, investigation, and reporting on the finding of the grand jury. I think the timing of that, the timing of that is pretty suspect as to what Ron DeSantis. Well, I'd like to see him just remain as our governor and stay out of the 2024 election and have a good clean slate to start on with a 2028 opportunity. But it looks like we're building up for a major fight in the realm of our conservative candidates for presidency. Congressman Hill and for Greg, if you'd hang in there and both of you respond to this. Looking at the headline, says, Thought Police Alarm. United States urges, and it's talking about the Biden administration, urges you to confront friends with any misinformation. The Biden administration just awarded a $5 million contract to a group of journalists developing software to encourage all Americans to confront their friends and family members over any harmful post to correct any misinformation, such as stating that the COVID-19 vaccines are not effective. So I'll not read the other parts of the article, but the thing is that we have through the Biden administration now the setting in place and the token startup fund of $5 million to set up a snitch system in America, just as Adolf Hitler had in the 40s, to set up the system so that friends and family members could report on friends and family members if you think they're giving out disinformation. I'd like to hear from each of you your thoughts on that. Congressman Hill, what's your take on that? What are your thoughts? Where are we headed with that? And then, Greg, if you would do a quick follow-up.
Dr. Youngblood, that is nothing more than a prescription from the communist playbook. The only way for oligarch regimes to stay in power is that they have citizens who are willing to turn in other citizens. We saw it in communist Russia. It's in effect right now in communist China. Communist Cuba. And what we are seeing is a move by those on the left, this Biden regime, to also start using it here in America. That is the only way that they can stay in power is if they have enough people who are willing to turn in their fellow citizens.
Absolutely. Greg, we've got our time. The clock is just about run out on us. But if you would comment with a very brief statement about what Congressman Hill just commented on, and then wrap us up with a thought. With all of this, it seems negative and dark and dangerous on the horizon, and we in the Christmas season, how should Christians and conservatives respond to all of this today?
First off, I'm very thankful for Brother Mike Hill. I'm thankful for his service to his community. I'm thankful for his continuing service, even on the radio today, and his taking a stand for truth on a regular basis. On the issue of all these different deceptions, and of course they want to call out misinformation, disinformation. I think those words are changing in definition. It's if you spread anything the left doesn't like, that's misinformation or disinformation. When it comes to vaccines, when you redefine a word, and that's exactly what they did with the word vaccine, so all of a sudden it doesn't transmit immunity. If anybody calls out a change in definition, then they're the individuals that are spreading misinformation and disinformation.
Greg, thank you.
As it can possibly be.
Greg, for you and for Congressman Hill, thank you so much. Our clock has elapsed. We've got a hard final coming up, so thank you so much. God bless you, and each of you have a Merry Christmas.
Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.